Well, welcome into this edition of Bullring Breakdown. We already did the recap with Terry Pierce, so now we're going to hop in with a little bit of an interview with a driver. This week we got Rush Crate late model driver Austin Allen here with us. Austin, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. I appreciate you having me on. I think this is a cool little deal here, and I'm very honored to be your first guest. I think this is gonna be pretty cool, pretty fun show.
I won't lie to you. We went to Brian Doolittle's and Kenny People Shop, and we did it with the video camera. And I kind of wish that we would have hopped onto the Zoom thing a little earlier because it's you can do it from the comfort of your home, and it seems to be a lot easier. We ran into audio issues, and so I don't know.
No, I think this is a cool deal. I think this is something if we can get the ball rolling on, I think it'd be a good hit for everybody.
Right. And well, I guess while we're on that, we are up on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This will be posted to the YouTube. So if you guys want to just go ahead and like them at Bullring Breakdown on the YouTube, that'll be on the Woodhall Raceway YouTube, and also on the there'll be a link on the Facebook. Also check out the TikTok too. So I guess Austin, the first thing I want to hit on is a little bit this weekend. You came over to Woodhall, and boy, I guess you and Brett just put on a show. That had to have been fun.
Oh yeah, it's about as much fun as you can have to run second, I can tell you that. I mean, it was a lot of fun. Brett's a very clean driver. I knew if I showed a nose or if whatever, he'd give me enough room. And it's a lot of fun racing with guys like Brett because whether we finish 1-2, we're both gonna be happy for each other. So being a good friend, and I kind of looked up to him because he's been racing for a long time. I kind of been around for a little bit helping Bryce and everything. So yeah, it's a lot of fun to be able to run up front with those guys that's been pretty dominant for a lot of years.
So you tell, well, I guess going off of that, where you said you used to help Bryce and stuff, is it kind of weird when you go back to Woodhall? I know you're following the Rush, their series for points, so you're not there weekly. But when you go back, is it kind of weird to think that you're kind of the veteran now in that class?
Yeah, it is kind of weird. I mean, this would be my 5th year racing, so there's a lot of young guns in the late model class, and I feel like it's just been a lot of fun, and I've learned a lot. And if people want to ask me questions, I'm more than happy to help. I mean, it's just pay it forward, you know. I mean, Bryce has helped me. I've looked up to a lot of guys, and a lot of guys helped me get to where I am now. Bryce and his dad, and a whole lot of people, Johnny Waters, Jeremy Wunderling, Jason Knowles, especially him and Mary Lou have helped me out a ton. And it's kind of a pay it forward. I mean, it's a way of life for us racers, and when you can help someone out and you can see them succeed, it makes it feel that much better.
So, have you talked to Marcus Kerr at all?
Yep. So he was actually him and his dad were up to the shop today because we were
Good.
gonna do some shock adjustments for him for this next week. Yeah, me and Bryce and Dave have kind of brought them guys under our wing, and they've been asking a lot of questions. They've helped us assemble our cars this year, so they kind of could get a feel of how these cars are built and what things are supposed to look like. And he's just a great kid. He's like a sponge. He's right in there wanting to learn, wanting to know why we're doing things and how we're doing things. And it's just been a lot of fun to kind of bring him in under our wing and kind of get him going, you know.
Yeah, I'll say it's kind of funny because when you talk to him, he kind of reminds you me of you about what 10 years ago when we used to sit down in turn four before you ever
Oh yeah.
really got into it. But
Yeah, it's just crazy to see how far we both have come in the racing industry in our area. It's just it's crazy.
I just think with Marcus, you can tell he's got the drive to learn and he really wants to do it. And I'm glad that he's hooked up with you guys because I said it on the recap show that I think the late models have one of the best groups at Woodhall, that if you really need to pick somebody's brain, nobody's ever going to tell you no. They're all gonna, I don't know if you'll give them the right answer, but you'll at least steer them in the right direction.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, I'll let anybody come to my car with an angle finder and a tape measure. And if you want to look at something, go ahead. I mean, what I got's what I got. And if it's good, it's good. If it's not, it's my own problem. So, I mean, yeah, I'm willing to help anybody, and I'm going to give them the proper information of what they ask and all that stuff. And it's just, I don't know, it's kind of like it's a hobby for all of us. You know, none of us is going to get rich doing this stuff. So you might as well go and you have fun and just hope at the end of the day you can put it back on the trailer in one piece, and if you're lucky with the first place trophy.
That's what I think one of the best things about this weekend was you and Brett had one of the best races I've ever seen, and I don't know if you guys touched each other.
We touched each other a little bit, but it was nothing like intentional or dirty. It's just hard racing, you know what I mean? Like the track was very treacherous because we got that late downpour and all that stuff. So kind of like it didn't kill the track, but it just kind of took some of the racy out of it, I feel. And it kind of made it one lane around the top. But I mean, what can you expect when you get a downpour like that? I mean, nobody can control Mother Nature. She's her own woman.
Right. Well, I do want to thank you too again. I know I texted you before, but thank you for all you late model guys and your street stock guys. I'm making a plan to go over to the pit area on Saturday and telling everybody that I didn't catch up with, and a big thank you because you guys are the reason we were able to keep racing. If you guys hadn't have stayed out there, and I know it's no fun, I'm sure you spent all of Sunday cleaning off your car, but I mean, you guys are the reason we could race still.
Yeah, I actually had to wait till Monday because we were packed full in the schedule for Easter.
Well,
So,
that's all right too. It still isn't any fun to wait till Monday and clean it up,
no,
but
nope. It's, I mean, wash day is wash day. I mean, it takes about the same time. It might take a little longer with all the mud and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, your whole day is pretty much circled around washing anyway. So,
right. So I guess I want to kind of go into the beginning of your career. I know you hopped into a street stock. You were in that for what, 1 year?
yeah, I ran, I
Maybe
think
a
I
year and a
ran,
half.
no, it was about, so I got it right around August of 2020. So it'd have been a little less than half a year, probably right around half a year. And I stuck strictly to Wood Hall, and I really learned and honed in my craft there. And just, I didn't spend a whole lot of money on it. I just wanted to get in something to make sure I'd like it and all that. And I found a pretty good deal. Brandon Bertzel hooked me up with it, and we brought it back to the shop and we did some cutting and rewelding on it and made it look as pretty as we could. And we went out and had some fun. We went down to Wood Hall that first night and I started scratch for the whole night, and just so I can get some laps in, you know what I mean? Just get some laps in, just try to run all the laps. And luck, I think with like five to go, I kind of overcooked it going into one, and I drove it down through the infield and blew a brake line. So cut my night short. But other than that, yeah, we just first year we run street stocks, and we went to Penn Can a couple times. I took the car over to Outlaw once. We went down to the hill and ran. Just try to get to different tracks just to learn different driving styles, you know.
Well, that so one of the questions that I want to ask you now that you're moving on to the well, now that you're racing the Rush Series full time, and kind of what's the driver's mindset when you pull into a track that you've never been in? Are you just calling guys and trying to figure out what you got to do, or are you just walking in completely blank?
So what I've got, what's I'm really lucky and grateful for is I crewed with Bryce for all those years, and we were always going to new tracks. So I mean, it's kind of, you have to have that mindset of like just knowing you got to be able to watch whoever's in front of you that's kind of been there before, and you just kind of got to feel, get a feel for what they're doing, and then try to copy them a little bit. And once you get out there, you just drive it as hard as you can without wrecking.
Yeah, what how now you kind of hopped into that late model, and I'll never forget the first time that I saw you race it. And I said, boy, he looks like he's been doing it forever. Kind of what is it just working with Bryce all them years? Do you think that kind of helped you just hop it? Because it seemed like you really didn't have much of a learning curve, really. I mean, because there's a lot of people that get in them and can't even go around in the circle, you know?
Right. Well, it definitely having Bryce and Dave in my corner helped me a ton. And even Jason, there's a lot of nights where Bryce couldn't make it because he was having family duties and all that stuff. And Jason also took me under his wing and kind of kept me in the mindset of like, hey, just relax and just go out there and run the laps. And yeah, that first night I run the late model, well, it was a funny story how he actually got the late model. Dave Davis was on Facebook and he found this raffle for a roller late model. It's a 2014 Pierce car. And so he bought a raffle ticket. He got the last one. Well, he went on vacation and he just, I think he was in Florida somewhere. He texted me, goes, hey, I got me a late model. I said, no way. Cause he was telling me about it. And I'm like, oh yeah, well, good luck. And he won it. So we had someone go pick it up for us. It was out in St. Louis, I want to say, out in Missouri somewheres. And back to the shop, Dave gave me a smoking deal on it, so he made some money, and then I got in it for fairly cheap, so it was a good deal. And then Wayne Robertson. This was about the time he was getting out of racing, and he had a motor and a transmission and all the other stuff. So I give him a call, and he sold me a motor, transmission, some rims, some tires, and ignition system, and he gave me a pretty good deal. So I got pretty lucky on how I got started in this whole late model stuff. And yeah, we kind of, I mean, most of these cars are pretty much identical these days. Like bar angles are bar angles, bump steers, bump steer, and caster camber. Like everything's pretty much the same anymore. And so we kind of just set it up to how we always set up Bryce's cars, and we took it over to Outlaw. And I think anybody could have jumped in that car and drove it that night. That car was really good. And we ran that dash race. I started fourth, and I think I got the lead on lap three, and I just drove away. And like I said, I think anybody could have drove the car that night. And it was kind of swelled my head up a little bit, I'm not gonna lie. And made me feel real big with myself. And the next night I went out and got humbled pretty quick, and I think I ended up fifth or something. But it was still a good run. I was happy with it, but it was definitely a lot different than running the street stock.
Yeah, I can't even, just the tires are so different, and the everything about them cars are different, you know. Even just watching the race, you can tell how
Yeah,
different
it's
they are.
definitely this. I mean, that street stock I had, it wasn't the great one, the greatest one, but it was fun. Like I had a lot of fun. The guys in that class were pretty understanding when I was spinning out and not driving as good as I should have been. And I think that's where I kind of learned to like when like Saturday night when all them yellows kind of. I'm not gonna say that's what costed me the race, but I mean, a couple times I almost got past Brett, and the yellow would come out, and it's just a racing deal. You know what I mean? These people are paying the same amount of money I am to come here, and it's just racing, you know?
Yeah, well, that I kind of did want to touch on that a little bit. Were you, because I remember one time, I think it was twice in a row actually, that you got Brett going down the backstretch and you finally got in front of him, and then the caution came out, and then I think you got him again on that double file restart. And I think that was with about 8 laps to go, and after that it was single file restarts the rest of the way. And were you just kind of sitting there?
Yeah, I'm sure because we have that little GoPro that we have hooked onto my chin mount on my helmet, and Shane sent me a clip of after that last yellow come out, me just screaming probably words that nobody should hear me scream out loud in my race car. So luckily he clipped that out, so I didn't look like such a dummy. But
Well,
yeah, I mean it's frustrating. Obviously, it's frustrating to race somebody and finally get the run you need to get by him, and the yellow comes out. It's definitely frustrating, but it's racing. And if I was to finish the second to somebody, I'm glad it was Brett.
Right. Well, and like you said, you were that kid too one time, so
Right.
kind of all comes around
Everybody's been
anyway.
there. And
Right.
if you haven't been there, you're lying.
So how'd you get the catfish nickname?
So
Do
when.
you know, or do you just
Yeah, it's a pretty funny story actually. I'll tell you the clean version.
Yeah, you better.
When we were iRacing, we were always iRacing right there during COVID, and I was racing like AJ Petrobowski and Carter Crooker and Colin Wyatt and all them guys, Ethan Decker. We were just goofing around while I was always running the bottom, all them guys was running the top just because I couldn't run the top like that. And in racing, I always ran the bottom there for the first couple of years. It didn't matter how good the cushion was. I was not getting off that bottom. So they just started calling me the bottom feeder and just catfish.
Yeah, the old Donnie Lawson line, I like to call it once in a while. So I guess you were talking about some of them guys. You were iRacing with AJ and all them, and I kind of happened to notice they're all open wheel guys. I think I know the answer to this, but have you ever had any ambition to ever step into an open wheel car?
So this would have been 2022, I believe. I drove a Crate Sportsman for Reese Hackett over to Outlaw for the Mike Jackson Memorial, and we missed the show by one spot, but it was pretty fun. I definitely had a blast, and I don't think they're as fun as the late models are, but if
Uh-oh, we might have lost Austin. I'm gonna just bear with us here for
me
some
to
tech.
ride, I'd definitely try one out. I think it'd be a lot of fun. All right,
Right,
we're back.
good. Oh, yeah, but I got you back, so that's good.
You
And
catch
I
all
guess
that or we?
No, it's
They're
fine.
good.
It's fine. It's
Yeah.
okay. We fly off the cuff here. We don't need to edit it out. It's fine. I said that you had some technical difficulties, so that's okay.
That's all right. We're working through it. We're working
Right.
through it.
So the street stocks. I guess so one thing that I really want to touch on asking you, because you're a late model guy, and I don't really ever see any long distance late model races. I know that you go that the modifieds have quite a few, and the sportsmen even get them once in a while. And at Woodhall, we had the Woodhall 100 for the street stocks. Is that kind of something that you would ever be interested in ever seeing, or is that
Yeah,
kind of with them cars they're.
I would. I think it would have to depend on the track because now we're running this E85 fuel. It's like an alcohol fuel, and we burn a lot more of it than we used to when we were running the gas fuel. But like down in Learnerville for that firecracker, that's a 50-lap feature, and we were down to Pittsburgh last year to run a 40-lap feature, and that's a half-mile track. So that's quite a bit for us. But yeah, like I would love to run some longer distance races. I think that'd be a lot of fun, and I'd be all in on it.
If the opportunity ever arose, would you hop in a street stock for the Woodhall 100?
Yeah, I would do
Yeah.
that. I would drive anything. If it's got wheels on it and it goes fast, I'll jump in it.
Yeah, as long as somebody puts you in one, right?
Yeah, as long as I can fit in the seat.
I think yeah, me too. I always wanted to try and hot lap a car, but I don't know. There's not very many race car drivers I can fit in a car,
Yeah, definitely it takes a lot. I remember the year I won the championship 2023, I had an ignition problem in my late model in my race car, and luckily enough Jason was there and he let me jump in his car for the heat race just so I could get points, and that was a tight fit, and we were hurrying up and going, and I squeezed down in the seat and we had to adjust the belts because they ended right above my belly, so we had to adjust the belts out a little bit, and luckily enough we got it safe enough to where I could go out there and I'd feel comfortable, and we ended up I think finishing second behind Waters that night in the heat race. But yeah, that was quite the tight ride.
Well, Jason is quite a bit smaller,
Yeah,
I'm surprised that you weren't your knees weren't touching your chin.
well, I know the steering wheel was hit my stomach, so I couldn't kind of yank the wheel like I needed to, and sometimes, so I was just kind of taking her easy there for most
Well,
of
that's what we'll blame on getting second.
it. Yeah. I
Even
never
though,
let Waters win. Never let Waters win.
well, I'll tell you, I don't know if you can let him or not. It seems like
Yeah.
whenever he's there, he is just fast.
Yeah,
He knows his way
he's got
around
a
that
lot of
place.
laps around that place, that's for sure.
Yes,
And
he does.
every time he comes, him and I, we always talk for about an hour, hour and a half. He's now like, remember back in the day with Bryce and all that kind of, sometimes we'd get into a little bit and Jason, like they'd get into it, but now I feel like Johnny's just happy to be racing and just comes and goes as he pleases.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I've seen these people sit there, and the adrenaline gets to you, and you get mad in the moment. But then,
Oh, yeah.
that's what Terry Pierce always tells me. He says you can, now that he's kind of manager, taking over that role a little bit this year. And he said, you can sit there and you can swear at me and yell at me all you want, but at the end of the night, you better have a beer with me. That's all.
And
As long as we can do that.
I mean, as for me, I know there's plenty of times where I went up to Terry just so I had someone to complain to. And I'd tell Terry, I'm like, listen, I'm not mad at you. I'm just mad in general and I'm venting. So
Well,
sometimes it's how it's just racers, once they put the helmet on, they're a totally different person.
right. Well, that's what I always said, is I know some guys that are kind of, they don't have a problem getting into you, but when you talk to them off of the racetrack, they're some of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, and that just
Yep,
kind of
for
happens to
sure.
be, I don't know.
I learned that a lot on the wrecker when I was helping Shane down there in Woodhall. We'd hook out like somebody would be mad in the car, and as soon as they got out of the car and they take their helmet off, they're the nicest people you can meet, and then some of them weren't, but I guess that's their problem.
Right. Well, as long as you can get over it by next Saturday, and I mean, I think you said it earlier, it's frustrating. I know you guys got a lot of time and money, but you're all still doing it for fun, and I think sometimes people kind of lose sight of that, and I know probably in the moment it's hard to, but
Oh yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, there's a few times I've gotten out the car pretty upset, and Dave Davis, wise words, once told me, going to beat that guy up ain't gonna fix your race car, so there's no point. So
Yeah. Well, and I think Bryce was always pretty calm too. I don't ever remember
Yeah.
him really throwing too big of a fit, so.
I've seen him get fired up a couple times. Most of the time he's just relaxed, and he just I feel like you drive better that way. Once you flip that switch, I feel like you overdrive and you start making mistakes and all that. So if you stay cool and calm and collective, that's how you get the best finish at the end of the night.
Right. Well, I see that almost weekly, you know, that they some guy will be doing, so just say somebody will be going down, they're running a great race, running third or fourth, and then somebody will knock into them, and then all heck breaks loose, and they end up in a caution, and they're all turned around, and everybody's loading a wadded up race car at the end of the night. And
Yeah, and that's never fun. And then you got two jobs the next week. Got to go to work, and then you got to come home and work.
yeah, so I guess on that, what does your typical week look like? So I know that you probably have you got your full-time job, but what do
Yep.
you so a after that, do you just come home, go right in the shop every night, or?
So now that I'm with my girlfriend and all that, I spend a little less time in the shop than I used to spend. But usually, typically, I'll go up there and tinker for a few hours, just check over things and look and make sure everything's where it needs to be. Take a tape measure and measure some stuff and put a wrench on bolts and make sure everything's tight and lubed up and moves as they should, so there's no binds or nothing's bent or nothing, none of that stuff. And it's just a lot of just little things that I'm glad that Bryce and Dave taught me over the years to kind of look out for.
Right. Well, I always said that most races are won in the shop, and I know I've told that to Kenny Peoples before too, and he's won a boatload of races, and I know if you're down there on a Sunday, they're tearing everything apart and going through it all. And
It's definitely a lot of work, and I've always said, yeah, money can win races, but sometimes hard work can win races too. And you can have all the money in the world, but if you're not maintaining your car, you're gonna break every week.
right. Well, you've seen it. I mean, I've seen people with a ton of money that every week they have a problem, you know, and they, and I think that it comes down to checking everything week in, week out, you know.
And a
But of
lot of
course,
the
I don't
time
have
it's
to do
just
it. I
a
just talk about it. So
and a
that'll be
lot of
easy
time
for
it's
me.
the $20 part that could cost you a $1,000 win feature or whatever.
Right. Right. Well,
So
I think that it probably is most of the time. I mean, I know people, you blow a motor every once in a while, but. And for the most part, it's something coming loose, you know, a hose or
I
clamp.
almost lost a championship that year with a broken tie rod and it's a $13 rod end and it snapped off coming to the white flag, and I ended up with a DNF. And that last points race, Brett was 8 points from us, and it rained out. But yeah, it could have cost me a championship right there.
Yeah, well, I would have asked you if you were happy if it rained out then, but I know you probably weren't.
I racers want to race. I was,
Yeah.
I was, I wanted to race. I mean, I wanted to win it fair and square, but we had five other rainouts that year too, and we weren't making those up either, you know. So it sucks. I mean, I feel bad for Mick Seely. I think he lost the championship by 1 point that year.
Yeah, he did. He did, and that, but you know, I guess that happens, you know. I don't
That's
know.
all
Would
part
you,
of it.
right? So would you like to see if you to make that up if possible then? So say season championship night as a racer, would that always be something that you'd want to?
I mean, I feel like that's something you would have to have at the beginning of the year, like a rain date,
Right.
put that in the schedule, you know what I mean? I feel like that would be the best way. That way there's no questions, there's no reason for anybody to complain because it says right in the schedule that championship night has a rain date, you know what I mean?
Right. The
So I
only
feel like
thing,
that's one of the ways you could do that.
right. The only thing that I have, the only reason why is because a lot of times at the end of September, that's when your big races are, you know, that's your big money races. I think you guys got a rush race almost every Saturday in September. And so I'd kind of personally, I know it stinks for the people that come up one race short on a rain out, but I'd kind of rather see the guys that want to go out there and try to race somewhere and, you know, travel a little bit and give them the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I know when I won my championship, I was strictly Woodhull for most of the year, and then once the championship was over, we went to McKean, we went to Batavia, we went to Lernerville. We raced wherever we could to finish out the year. And I mean, racing at Woodhull is a lot of fun, don't get me wrong, but being able to go to these new places and run up front and contend with some of the bigger guys in the sport, it's a lot of fun.
Right. So I asked you about open wheel. Do you think you'd ever hop behind the wheel of a super late model? Or is that more of a financial commitment?
That would be like if someone offered me a ride in one, I would do it in a heartbeat. Like I would love it, and ultimately that's my bucket list is to drive a super late. But right now in our area, it's just really not financially smart to do it because the closest place that runs super lates is State Line, which is 2 hours away,
Right.
and
And
all these rush shows are 4,000 to win, 5,000 to win. 4,000 minimum to win, and you look at the ULMS schedule. It's a good schedule, but you're not racing for as much to win as you are with the rush stuff.
right, and like you said, that's a lot more traveling. I think, well, probably I know Outlaws got one that's pretty close, and I think probably McKean does, but probably after that, you're looking at some good traveling. So.
I think Freedom's got a couple this year, but yeah, but still, I mean, that's six or seven races out of the whole year. I mean, I'd like to race a lot more than that, you know?
Well, and the thing too about the rush thing is you can go any. I don't know if the supers are like that. I really don't know much about them, but I know those late models, crate late models, you could go anywhere, you know, as long as
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
on schedule, you can go.
and that's the number one thing I think about these late models is anywheres in the country you're illegal for the most part. You might not be able to run bump stops or stack springs or whatever, like in the rush, we can't run stack springs, which I feel like most of the 604 rules throughout the country are like that. And some places you might have to run a certain hard right rear tire, and then just it's a lot of every all our cars are built the exact same, so it's like we could go anywhere in the country and race, and it's you're competitive.
Right. And how about parts? Are they kind of hard to, so say you do, unfortunately, you blow a motor. Are they hard to come by still, or is that
Not
getting a
really.
little bit
So
better?
actually I sent my motor out this year to get rebuilt by 955 Automotive, and about 2 weeks before we were supposed to go racing out to Bridgeport, which it rained out, but my motor guy called me and goes, "Hey, I got looking into this motor and this is no good. Your pistons are too wore out and your heads are too wore out and we can't make this work." He goes, "You're gonna have to get a new motor." So luckily Kyle Mullen, he helped me out, and we got ourselves a new motor. And it took 2 days to get the motor, and another couple of days for him to dyno it and put a heat cycle on it and break it in. And yeah, it was 4 or 5 days, and we had that new motor, and we're ready dropping it into the race car.
And he's one that helps you out quite a bit, right? That Kyle Mullen.
Kyle Mullen with Hubertus Service, his wife Hillary, they helped me out a lot. Kyle owns the race car. I mean, he bought the chassis, bought me the motor, and he's become a really good friend of mine, and we've had a lot of fun so far this year already. We've only raced once, but we've had a lot of fun doing it this year, just building the car from nothing to what it is now. It's very prideful, and it's a lot of fun.
Right. And you said brand new, right? This car or brand new to you?
This car was new old stock. It was brand new car, but it was a very late 2024 XR1 that was built that we got off of Ed Carley up in Freedom. And I told, like, me and Kyle were talking about it, and I told him, I said, we'll never find a new brand new car for this price ever again. And he's like, "All right, let's go get it." So we went and got it, and now she's ours, and we've got to break her in down to Woodhall. It was a lot of fun.
And say you showed a lot of speed there for the first time in a new car. And
Yeah.
well, so are you pretty much, you know what you're doing then from chassis to chassis, besides maybe a little bit of tinkering here or there?
So the really between the because I had the 2019 XR1 and the 2024, they're pretty similar. We changed a couple things on it, but overall I feel like it handles pretty close to the same. It's definitely, I feel like this car has a lot, it steers in a lot better than my last car did, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, we're just trying to tinker a little bit to find a little more extra speed, and we still got a little bit of gremlins to work out of the car, and that's kind of the reason, one of the reasons we went to Woodhull is just to shake it down and make sure we got all the gremlins out. And she got a little warm, but nothing too bad. And So we're gonna work on that a little bit and
Yeah,
see
you
what
want
we
to
can
make
do.
sure it works before you got to take it to West Virginia or somewhere, you know?
Yeah, especially Pittsburgh, 'cause that's a big half mile. You're not off the throttle very long there. Usually you're to the floor from when you take the green till you take the checkered.
Yeah, I think that's a track I've never been to. I think I was gonna go a couple times with you, and it just never ended up working out. I know I
Yeah,
want.
it's a big track and it's pretty wild. You carry a lot of speed down there.
Yeah, well, I guess the good thing about those big tracks, you carry a lot of speed. If you crash, you're done for the night, right?
You're probably done for a while. I've seen a lot of tore up race cars down there, that's for sure. I know last year, first night out, Brad Messler had a pretty gnarly wreck down there, and he had to get a whole new car and everything. And it's just one of those freak deals where you kind of hit the hole wrong, and a guy got into him and just flipped him over, and it was gnarly.
Yeah, that's too bad. He's a pretty good guy too. I've talked to him on a couple of occasions, but he's a pretty good guy. I think most of you late model guys are. There's not very many of you who don't give me the time of day, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a fun group. Like even down there to Woodhull, like there's five or six guys down there on a good night that can win any night. It all depends on who's got the hot setup that night, or who's starting up closest to the front or whatever. It's a lot of fun down there.
Yeah, I know a lot of people would like to see you guys there a little bit more. I know the rush commitments are what they are and everything, you know. And so what's I got to ask you, because I don't know if I'll be able to get time from him, but do you know anything about Bryce's plans? Does he still have a car? Because I know that
Oh
he's
yeah.
got a pretty big fan base around the Canisteo area, especially.
Yep, he's still got his car. He likes to keep it in the shop this time of year. It's just this time of year, it's just kind of the tracks are real heavy and usually it's hammered down and kind of rough on equipment. So he picks and chooses when he wants to race. And I know his kids are big into sports right now, so he's got that on his plate. And he's been going on vacation, just spending time with his family, which is understandable. And
Yeah. Well, he's got a lot of young kids too, and he really's been at it for quite a while, and I think he's pretty much probably done everything that
Yeah,
you want to check off, you know. So
and he's one thing about his car is even if his car is 99% ready, he's still not gonna go. He's not leaving the shop till it's 100% ready. So I feel like that's one of the reasons why he's so good is he knows his car inside and out. He's probably one of the smartest people I know with these cars too. So he's
Well,
definitely no slouch.
he's a smart guy in general too, not just when it comes to race cars. He's got a pretty sharp mind. So I guess what? So you're still gonna run Rush this year, I take it.
Yeah, we're gonna run the first because last year we were fully committed because of the rookie of the year and all of. This year we signed up for the tour and we're kind of gonna feel out the first few races and see how we're faring up with everything. And if we get to a point where we're kind of struggling or we're just not having fun doing it, we're probably just gonna back up and just regroup and run some big local shows and do some of that deal.
Well, that traveling's fun too. You know, getting out there and just going to see different things, like you said, different tracks even, but just kind of getting away for a weekend's pretty fun, you know?
Yeah, that's there's the bull ring, there's your
Got
mascot.
a wise guy over here.
Yeah. But no, yeah, traveling it's a lot of fun. I mean, especially last weekend of the year, we always go down to Lernerville for the Steel City Stampede, and it's a 3-day show. We go down there, we take the campers, we take the smokers, the grills, and it's just laid back and it's just a lot of fun, just hanging out with your friends and your family and getting to do a little bit of racing and hanging out around the campfire after and drinking some cocktails. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was one of the most funs I had was that year that I think it was the year Bryce won the Rush series.
Yeah,
I
I
went
believe
down
that
with you
was.
guys and I rode down with you and we stayed in your camper, and
Yeah.
that was a lot of fun. Granted, we've had some fun at races, so
I think the racing's a lot of fun, but the best part of that whole weekend is watching that 100-lap enduro at the end of the weekend. That's just
hey, I'm telling you, you
they put 70 cars
junk
out there.
cars
It's a
are fun.
blast. Yeah, it looks like fun.
Yeah. Junk cars are fun, but I think more people ought to try them. I got fun fact, that's how Ken Peeple Sr. got started in racing.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he told
He's
me.
he
I
was
couldn't
quite the
believe
wheel
it.
man.
What's
Yeah, he
that?
was quite the wheel man.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He That's why I
I
told
used
Kenny. I said everybody remembers the truck.
Oh yeah, I remember being a kid watching the yellow 5K run around there.
Yeah, him and Larry Knowles.
Yep, Larry, and I was always a big Glenn Reitenauer fan when I was younger. That was my driver.
I still am.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always enjoy it when I see Glenn. He might be one of the most mild-mannered people I've ever met in my life.
Tell you what, if you ever see him out at the bar or anything, you got to be careful. He'll get you tuned up, that's for sure.
Well, I do know one of his I do know that every time I see him down there, he is getting everybody tuned up, but he always seems to stay right and mellow, you know?
Yeah,
He lets
but
everybody else get in trouble.
it's a great time. Every time I'm around him, it's always a lot of fun. And like I said, that's one of the people I looked up to when I was a young kid, going to Woodhall, sitting in the stands. And it's just cool to kind of know that he knows me and I know him, and we can kind of talk. And it's a lot of fun. It's pretty cool.
Well, that's why that's kind of why I fell in love with Woodhull, really, is the people, just the people that are, you kind of make friends and you're friends for life. And whether it's, I guess I'm a little out of it, but kind of Canisteo and Jasper and all them, Addison, you know, the surrounding areas. And like with this Jordan Bacon, you know, when one thing happens, or the flood, when one thing happens, everybody kind of rallies together. And that's something that really makes you kind of proud to be from the valley, you know?
This area we got here, this is pretty, we're very lucky to be living in the area that we are, because there's a lot of good people, and a lot of people give the shirt off their back to their neighbors or whoever needs a shirt, they'll give it to them right off their back.
Right, and I do enjoy, I enjoy that everybody helps the racers too. You know, you can go up to, because I know modified guys, street stock guys, you can go up to any of them as a young kid, and they'll help you. You know, and that's
They'll a little knuckle bump or high five goes a long ways with those kids, and it's fun to watch. Every time I went down there, I love bringing the kids in, letting them hold the flag or the plaque. It's just, that's how you get these kids into it, is letting them feel like they're a part of it and just give them something to look up to, you know?
Right, that's something that I kind of noticed, though, you know, since maybe it's since we grew up, maybe we were close to that last generation, but I don't really see the kids that I used to, you know. There used to be, I know we would, I guess we were probably a little older, but back even when we would sit down and turn four, I remembered seeing a bunch of little kids running around, and now it just doesn't seem like they're there anymore. And then you go over to Outlaw or any other track, it kind of seems like the same way.
Yeah, it's just, I think technology's played a big role in all this. Like, racing might not be the most, like, I don't know how to say it, but there's not always going to be action, you know what I mean? I feel like a lot of people nowadays want action constantly, where racing, yeah, you might get those last laps races or those battles like Brett and I had last weekend, but sometimes you can get a one lane racetrack and it can be kind of boring, to be honest with you. And some people probably don't like that, and I just feel like it's the shift of generation and society right now, honestly.
And I think it's getting expensive too, you know. And I really don't know what you can do to kind of combat that, you know. It's kind of expensive to take your family really to do anything, you know, and just kind of seems to be the way that it's going. But
I agree. Money rules the world, right? And is people gonna take their last $50 to the racetrack, or are they gonna go to the grocery store? You know what I mean? Some people are like that. And back 10, 15 years ago, it was a lot easier to live, or not, maybe a little bit longer than that, 20, 25 years ago, it's a little easier to live, and you can go to the racetrack with $10 in your pocket and have a great night for all night.
right,
Have a great time.
I think that with car counts too. I think that's why you see, I mean, you look at modifies back in before, they were a lot cheaper than what they are now. I mean, you're paying 40, 50 grand just for a motor, you know, and to be competitive, it's way more than that. And so you, and it's really, it's every track that I see, you know, car counts are kind of going down, or people are picking and choosing, not a lot of people running for points necessarily. So I
And
don't really know what you can do to stop it.
it's tough. I mean, it takes a lot of discipline and love of the sport to do it all the time, and because it's not cheap, it's expensive, but the way I look at it, anything's expensive. I have just as much money now as I did before I started racing. I would find something to spend my money on, so I figured I'd spend it on something I love doing, you know?
And a race car keeps you out of trouble. There's a lot worse things you can spend your money on than a race car.
Yes, there is. Racing's the most expensive drug you'll find, too.
Yeah.
Once you do it once, that's all you think about.
I know the commitment too. I don't know. But it seems like a lot of people don't understand the commitment it takes to get one of them cars on the racetrack and what you guys really have to do week in and week out just to be even close to competitive, you know?
Right.
Well, Austin, what do you think we start to wrap this up here?
Yeah, yep.
If you want to give your sponsors a shout out real quick, and we can, I know you got a
Yeah.
lot of people to help you out, so.
I got a lot of people, Kyle and Hillary Mullen, they helped me out a ton, and Huberta Service Station, that's their place, and Victor Zugby, he's helped me out ever since I started racing. He's one of my good friends. He's actually a friend that I met through Brett and Shane and all them guys that they went to college with, and he's just but first time ever since the first time we met, we've been great friends. He's just a great dude, and I have Ed Carley Motorsports for helping me out. Bryce and Dave, they've taught me everything I know about these cars. My mother, Johnny June Salon in Addison, she does a ton for me. She always has. Aaron Miller with Precision Builds, he's come on board this year, and he's another guy that I went to school with and grew up with, and him and I raced together, but he's got his family now and he's doing his own thing, business working wise, and
Can
so
I
he's got a
interrupt you
lot on
for a
his
second?
plate. Yeah.
So he does, he's not racing anymore. He's just focusing on his
Oh,
business.
he's got the car. I talked to him a little bit. He said he might get it out a couple times this year, but he's real busy. He's just starting his business, and he's got two young daughters and his wife, and he's just kind of being the family man right now and doing what it takes, and gotta respect him for that. But I got Eric Stanford with Ken's Auto right there in Can of Steel. He jumped on board this year. That's been cool. My stepmom Michelle at the Vault Beauty Bar. Her and my dad, they helped me out a ton. And Close Racing Supply. I got Joel Smith, DJ, all them guys down there. I can call them and they'll have whatever I need ready for me right there, so I can just go pick it up. And I'm probably missing people. I got Shane and Mark. They help me out. Like Shane's my tire guy, my right hand man. He does everything for me. I probably couldn't race half the races I do if I didn't have Shane and Kyle and my dad and Dave and Bryce and all these guys that are in my corner. And Shane's dad, Mark, he helps me out. And my brother, he comes and he helps me out. It's just a lot of fun. Like it's just we can go to the racetrack and it doesn't matter if we don't finish. If we finish last, we're still having a great time. We just got a great group of guys around us, and it's just a lot of fun to just go to the races and just relax, you know?
Well, I'll say that is one thing that I'll say about your group. The little bit that I want with you guys is it's always a blast. I mean, ball busting everything you could imagine with you guys, and everybody takes it in stride and have fun. And
Yeah.
you know,
Nobody really
even
gets their feelings hurt. It's just guys being guys, you know, we have a great time and it's just a lot of fun.
you do have a great group of guys with you. I can't tell you for that. Well, Austin, I guess I want to thank you for coming on this week, and good luck the rest of the season. I hope to see you at Woodhall, and
I appreciate it, and
maybe I'll
I'll
catch you at a
definitely.
rush race if I can get down there.
Yeah, I'll definitely be at Woodhall a few more times this year. It's definitely like I said, I don't run it as much as I used to, but every time I go there, it's just like I never left. It's just a ton of fun. Like last Saturday, the show ran smooth, other than the rain, and there was no issues really. I mean, there might have been some Mylapse issues or whatever. I mean, it's first night Gremlins. It had no practices or nothing. I mean, it's understandable. And I mean, I just had a blast. Like it was laid back, no big hurries or rushes, and everything was smooth and handled very well, and I was very happy to have a great night.
Man, I think we got out of there at a really good time for, having a
A
rain delay, and
couple of rain delays.
I think they did a great job. From what I could tell, the track was good. I don't think.
Track was great. I don't think there's, I mean, around the cushion, it's going to be a little rough, but I mean, anywhere's the cushion's that rough, but anywhere's other than that track, it was smooth as can be. I mean, people get spoiled at Woodhull. It's one of the smoothest tracks you're going to race at. And then every now and then there could be a hole or two holes at Woodhull, and all the place was rough. And I've raced on a lot rougher racetracks that are rough weekly. And
Right.
people
Well,
kind of,
that
like
was
a
the
lot of
biggest.
people get spoiled at Woodhull.
Well, that was the biggest thing that I said last year, was that we got is that the racetrack just got absolutely crushed about the surface for the well, when the Rush series was there last
Yep.
year, and that was, I mean, what was that, a week after a flood, you know,
Yeah,
and
after the flood and it rained all day and it was just a it was a bad night. I mean, what do you do? You know, it was a freak night. And like me and Terry kind of talked about this Monday. Me and Terry Pierce were talking a little bit, and like the first year we had the Rush show, it had rain all day in the forecast, rain, and ended up not raining and kind of got caught with their pants down and the track got real dusty. I mean, it's understandable. If you would have put a loaded water on that track, it probably would have rained. You know, it's just what do you do?
Well, that's the big thing, and I know I've talked to you before, and you overwatering, you know, that's kind of where you don't mind helping out, but you don't want to have to get your car
Right,
washed
like
or nothing, you
if
know.
I'll go out and help pack the track all day long if it's because of rain, you know what I mean? Like nobody can control the rain.
Like you said, you know, they would have put some water down, and then it would have poured, and then you would have been there, and everyone would have had to wait for the track to dry out. You know, it's a tall. I do not wish for Terry Brewer's job any day of the week, because that is not a fun job to try to, or any of them guys at any racetrack, just to try to get your track dialed in and to really get it racy, multiple grooves, and smooth it. It's a lose-lose job most weeks.
That's for sure. It's kind of like being an announcer.
I don't know. Everybody's happy to see me at the end of the night, though. You know,
Also,
I've never seen anybody talk to me at the end of the night and be upset.
right. Yeah, you're right.
Well, Austin,
You have to come over here at the end of the night, one of these weekends, come over and yell at you after the feature.
why don't you come hop in the booth? How about that? How about you come announce a race with me?
Sure, I'd love to. Sign me up.
All
Give
right,
me a weekend.
bring your car, and then run your feature, and then afterwards you can come in and hop in the booth.
Sounds good.
How's that
Perfect.
sound?
Yeah,
I'd love to
I'll do
have you.
that.
I tell everybody that there's an open invitation, because one, I could always learn, and a lot of fans want the driver perspective that I just can't give. I don't know, the way Kenny Peoples was great when he hopped in there. I don't know, you know, when a shock looks like it's gonna break, or if a car's sitting a weird angle, or what happened. You know, I don't know that stuff. So
Right.
I always tell drivers to come on in, open invitation, and we can all learn a little something.
And I'll tell you one thing. I'll give you some props. I mean, what you've been announced for what 3 years now? Is this your
20.
third year?
Oh man.
Third or fourth year, somewhere in there. But I just know you've come a long way since you started announcing, and it's pretty cool to watch. Just
Well,
knowing
I appreciate that.
where you and I always hung out, and now look at us both. We're doing pretty good.
I know, the only difference is I get in for free and you got to pay still.
Yeah, I get sometimes I get paid more
I'm sure.
Yeah,
All right, Austin. Well, thank you very much.
was a great time. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. I want to remind everybody, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, 5 stars review, like the podcast. That is Bullring Breakdown. Facebook page at the Woodhull Raceway, the TikTok at, I believe it's Woodhull Raceway 64 is the TikTok, and then Woodhull Raceway at YouTube. We'll put this up for the video. Audio go to Apple and Spotify. Have a good night, Austin. I appreciate you.
You too, Joe. Thanks for having me on.